Welcome to Muswell Hill Methodist Church Podcast. Today I'll be hearing from Reverend Jongi's message from our service on Sunday. If you live in North London or are visiting, we would love to welcome you at our church, and you can find more details about us on our social media. Before we listen to Jongi's sermon, let's hear from the Bible. Luke 2 verses 33 to 40. Jesus' father and mother were amazed at what Simeon had said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "Many people in Israel will fall, and many will rise because of this child. He will be a sign from God that many people will not accept. The things that they think will be made known, and things that will happen will make your heart sad too." Anna sees Jesus. Anna, a prophetess, was there at the temple. She was from the family of Phanuel in the tribe of Asher. Anna was very old. She had once been married for 7 years. Then her husband died and she lived alone. She was now 84 years old. Anna never left the temple. She worshipped God by going without food and praying day and night. She was standing there at the time thanking God. She talked about Jesus to all who were waiting for God to free Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary return home. Joseph and Mary finished doing everything that the Lord had commanded. Then they went home to Nazareth, their hometown in Galilee. The little child began to grow up. He became stronger and wiser, and with God's blessings were there with him.
Today's readings, my friends, are challenging us about the aspect of costly discipleship. Not cheap discipleship. Not weak discipleship. Not traditional discipleship. Not conformist discipleship, but costly discipleship. It may not have escaped you to recognize that today's readings are usually done in the Christmas period. The Magnificat we do just before Christmas, and the Luke chapter 2 reading we do a Sunday after Christmas. So why have I chosen it for October, which is not even Christmas yet? And I shudder when the shops already advertise Christmas in September, for that matter. I think they want our money too much, don't you think? So I've chosen it because I think costly discipleship is not a matter of a season. Costly discipleship is a matter of active Christian presence every day, every moment of our breathing lives. And I've chosen it because it signifies one woman called Anna, whose presence in the temple exhibited costly discipleship. This is an amazing and remarkable woman. She would have been married around the age of 14 and 15. She would have been married to her husband for about 7 years before he died. And after his death, she never remarried. For 77 years, she would have more or less been in the temple. From her childhood to her time of marriage to the time after her marriage. So all her life, she dedicated herself to the temple. In times of divorce and separation, and in times of bereavement and death, we think, should I find another partner? Should I look at different ways of existing, either as a single or a coupled person? This woman said, no, I shall give all who I am, with all that I am, into the service of God, and spent all that time in the temple. That must have cost her a great deal, because it meant that she remained with the label widow for all her life. It meant that she embodied the one who lost her partner all her life. But it also meant that she embodied the phrasing, one who is single for all her life. which are not all such endearing labels or characteristics. But hers was to dedicate herself, because she knew that being a disciple did not come cheap. Being a disciple, I'll give you 4 points and then I'll shut up. Being a disciple is about a life of full surrender. She chose to surrender her wishes, her needs, her wants, and all her hopes into this one God who gave her identity and who gave her meaning. We baptize children because we want them to be surrendered into the all-consuming, powerful presence and love of God. We offer in the act of baptism that privilege of godly presence and godly protection. When we dedicate ourselves to be in the presence of God, it might not be like Anna staying in the temple for so many years, but in our daily walk, showing our dedication to God, we offer ourselves to be in God's presence and to dwell in God's love all our life. Whether we are single or coupled, whether we are considered with partners or without partners, whether we are seen as lovable or not lovable, and whether we are seen as rich or poor, or whether we have a societal standing or not, in our dedication, in our giving of ourselves to the work of God, we are saying, Lord, we want your presence to permeate our every existence for every moment of our living. My grandmother would hum as she was doing her chores around the house, and I would always kind of sometimes get interested when I get the tune that she's humming. Sometimes she would mix 6-7 tunes in one hymn, and I wouldn't be sure exactly what tune. But when I get it right, I would twinkle my toes and my fingers, and I would join in with her humming. And when I don't get it, and it gets to me, and it irritates me, and I would say, Gran, why in heaven's name do you enjoy this humming? And she says, because I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to God. And sometimes in our daily walk, when we talk to God, we have that rhythmic, melodious singing within us. We may not sing out loud, but people see it in our step. People see it in our smiles. Hence, I was referring to smiles earlier on. And people see it in our general demeanor. If your general demeanor is one who has a strong look, one who has a threatening, aggressive face, people will run away from you. I used to say at home, stop telling children that dad is coming home and he'll deal with you, because I'm not the animal here. Say to children, dad's coming home and he'll have a fine conversation with you. Whatever the shape that fine conversation takes. But the first thing they need to see when one walks through that door is a demeanor that says, wow, it is good to be home. Don't bring into your relationship and into your home and into your work in the church that demeanor that says, I really don't want to be here. Because when you bring that demeanor, it permeates. Have you heard of one walking around with an aura? You bring an aura with you that permeates to others, that tells others that you either want to be close to them or you want to be separated from them. The aura you exude will determine the relationships you hold. The aura you exude will account for the smiles you get back. I always say, in spite of life's difficulties, if you smile at the world will smile back at you. Anna chose in spite of her challenges. You know, in the Israelite tradition, to be unmarried and to be a widow for so long was considered the lowliest form of existence. In the temple, such people were set at the back of the church, not the front. And they would only come up to the front at the invitation of the priest. But Anna didn't mind all of that. She didn't mind that status. All she minded was that what she was doing and what she was about was the fulfillment of God's will in her life. We cry in these days. We cry that our world is going to the doldrums. We cry about the natural disasters, Storm Babette, which has ravaged Scotland. We cry about the wars, Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Northern Ghana, some areas of Eritrea, United Republic of the Congo, and all other areas where there's wars. We cry about it. We make the noise that says it's not right. And we want to push with all that we've got that these things must dissipate and disappear and not exist in our presence. But as we cry, so too God calls on us to be responsible Christians. We cry and not then retreat into our comfort zones. We cry and then step out to meet the world at its point of need. Am I making sense? We do what we can to make a difference. We don't just cry out or speak out and then fold a four on our comfortable armchairs and say, well, that's it. I've said my piece and that's enough. Say your piece, but also act your piece. Say to the person next to you, God calls you and I to act our piece. Say it. And in acting our peace, we are therefore telling the world that times may be tough. The cost of living may be ravaging humanity in England and most parts of the world. But God is never not in control. When you tell the world that the God we worship is in control, the world will look at how you live. And when the way you live is depicting God's power, God's grace, and God's humility, and God's love, then the world will respond in the same way. You can't say, I want to be loved, when you act out hatred. You can't say, I want people to be my friends, when you act contrary to being a friend. And you can't say, why is nobody smiling in this day, when you haven't shared a smile? Does that make sense? I mean, life tells us. You know, there's adages galore that tell us that we reap what we sow. Isn't that right? That as we put in, so do we get out as well. So surrender is very important. Give yourself. You know, self-protection is never going to give us a contentment in life. But letting go and trusting God is going to make us even more content in life. Costly discipleship can be offensive. Costly discipleship is not always agreeable. There may be things that you might have to stand up against. There may be people in your life and in your family that you might have to stand up against. Anna stood up against cousins and sisters and brothers, and I'm sure community members who sought for her to conform to a particular pattern of life. But she stood up against that because she knew that serving God sometimes comes with sacrifice. And it was offensive to other people. And people will say, you're a Christian? Ooh, yuck. But in reality, it's not about pleasing men or pleasing the world. It is about pleasing and fulfilling the work of God. In 1 John chapter 3, there are these words. We are children of God. And it has not yet appeared fully what we shall be. We will know that when God appears in Jesus Christ, and we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Jesus will be purified by Jesus' presence. Anna announced this glorious sight in front of her when she saw Jesus in the temple being welcomed. Jesus was being welcomed to the fellowship of believers in that ceremony. And Anna saw this, and then she knew this is what she'd been living for all her life. In other words, you do right by the will of God, and God will do right by you. And the time will come when you will see God's purposes unfold in your life. It might be offensive to the world. It might be seen as non-conforming to the patterns of the world. But never be shy to stand firm on your beliefs and your faith. Because in standing firm for those beliefs and faith, you are showing that you are a consistent believer, that you know and love the Lord your God, and that you are not ashamed to be counted as a child of God. You know, when Jesus is asked, do you know Jongi? Jesus will point out who Jongi is, if I have kept due diligence in my faith. But if we are ashamed of one another, like a, shall I say, husband who is asked, where is your wife? And his response is, she's there. So, oh, is she in the room? Oh, yeah, she is. Where is she? Oh, over there somewhere. And that gives the impression of being ashamed to point at the person directly. God is not ashamed to point at me and you directly. God is not ashamed to pluck you and me from whatever existence we come from and make us the best that we can be. Like Anna, God reassures us gracefully that he is with us every step of the way. Costly discipleship cannot exist alongside hypocrisy. We can't say one moment that we love the Lord our God with all our heart and with all our mind, and yet when it comes to it, we love money more than God. Yeah, we need money to exist. This is a world of money. But do we serve money more than we serve God? A millionaire once told me, who had an export-import business ferrying stuff and goods between Africa and the Western world, once told me that for 30 years of my life, I've been working 14 to 16 hour days, hardly ever seeing my family. And 30 years later, I'm alone. I am rich and successful, but alone. My children don't know me, and I have no wife, and I live a single life. And I can tell you, Jongi, he said to me, it's not nice. Give yourself to your job. Commit 100% to your job, but don't let your job determine your identity. When your job begins to determine your identity, then it means that the God who gives you that identity is forgotten in your life. Consequently, you forget the other people in your life. Thirdly, costly discipleship is not about right and wrong, and is not about reward and punishment. God loves us enough, my friends, not to dangle a whip over our faces. But Jongi, so if I don't do right, isn't God going to punish me? No! If you don't do right, the consequences of your actions will punish you, not God. God will be at pains with you for the consequences of your actions punishing you. But God will never leave you nor forsake you, irrespective. So when it has gotten hard, turn to God. There is that hymn of the church that says, trust him and obey him, and he will see you through. So never think that God punishes you because of the badness of the world. Always accept that God understands our failings and our weaknesses and is always ready to come alongside us in spite of ourselves. So what am I saying? I'm saying in costly discipleship, do not ever be irrelevant. Be not ever be uninformed. Be not ever be unprepared. And be not one who lacks innovation. In costly discipleship, be relevant. Know your circumstances. Know the people around you. Be informed about the faith and the world in which you exist. And always be prepared for the unknown that may come to you. But also be creative and innovative because you serve a creative God. And lastly, be spectacular. You know, when God breathed into you, He gave you His image. That's worth more than any gold, I can tell you. You are beautiful. Be spectacular. Stop walking around with shoulders hunched and people are greeting you and say, hey, people, where you come from church? And how was, oh, it was all right. We had this jongi screaming at us today, you know. Oh, did you, I enjoyed it, it was amazing. But people then say, so why are you hunched if it was so enjoyable? If you really are in the image of God, come on, walk up, chest out, eyes facing up into the hills where your help will come from. Stop looking down. You will miss your blessings. When you look down, you don't get to see the blessings that you're supposed to be walking into. When you look down, you will trip on yourself. I'd rather trip on my blessings than on myself. Am I making sense? Look up. Yeah, the world is tough. Yes, bodily pains and poverty attacks us. But that's no excuse to be glum and downcast. Because we serve an almighty God. We serve a wonderful God. Just trust Him. Just give Him a chance. And He'll show you something amazing. And your life will never be the same. Let me give you a final testimony, then I'll shut up. You see, I suffer from a disease. And this disease is the rotting of my colon. And at one point in my life, it's going to have to be cut out. I'm still resisting, and my consultant still resists with me and says I'm young enough. Do I look young enough? And says I'm young enough. Maybe I might just beat this. But gosh, this disease is painful. And there are nights and days when I wish I could just reach in and just rip it out and be done with it. But you know what? Every morning there is a blessing I look forward to. This morning you were my blessing. When I woke up, I said, Lord, I'm going to Muswell Hill Methodist Church and I'm going to be seeing smiling faces. And yeah, I am seeing smiling faces. Every morning there is a reason to give thanks to God. Am I making sense? And I look for those reasons to give thanks to God. The night may have riddled me with pain. Tramadol may be subsisting in my blood. I'm not sure if I've got blood or I've got tramadol and then blood. But the whole point of it, the whole point of it, in spite of what I face, in spite of what you face, God has a purpose for you. And God will never fail you. He's never failed me. Yeah, I've had difficulties. Yeah, I've lost family and I have gone through pain. But He's never failed me. He's walked with me in my illness and in my dilapidated state. God continues to form, refashion, and make me a better person. And I trust Him. So please trust Him. So don't be like the man who fell down a cliff. As he was falling down a cliff, he cried out, Lord, help me. And the Lord helped him by turning his gaze on a branch that was overhanging. And the Lord said, grab that branch. And he grabbed the branch. And his fall was stopped. And he hung on to this branch. And then the Lord whispered to him, now, you see that you are not falling again? He says, yes, Lord, and thank you. And then the Lord said, let go. No! Oh, no, 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 you must be joking. And the Lord says, I'm serious. Let go. He says, no, 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 I'm not going to let go. I'm going to die. And the Lord says, please, I beg you, let go. And the guy just hung on. He hung on for what may seem like 4 or 5 hours. And then suddenly he had the voices of children passing by that path below him. And as he looked down, and the children were laughing. And he wondered why these children are laughing at him. He's going to fall to his death. And as he looked closely, he saw that he was this far close to the ground. Only this far close to the ground. And had he listened to God and let go of that branch, he would have just landed on firm ground. No hurt to him. Don't trust God 1 minute. And then trust yourself the next 4 hours. That's dangerous. Anna trusted God for 77 years and more. You and I could do better than that. These days we live to be over 100. So why don't we trust God for 100 years or more? Does that make sense? So what's important, therefore, is that in costly discipleship, God is in control, not me. In costly discipleship, the world's noises don't affect who I am, but God's voice tells me who I am. And in costly discipleship, God will never take you to a place or into a situation where he will not see you through. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that as we continue to upload more sermons, prayers, podcasts, and more, that you find something for you here. Please feel free to follow our podcast on Spotify or Apple Music so that you can hear when we upload new episodes. Until next time, God bless you.